This week's Piffles Player Profile brought to you by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies. Check out their two locations in Regina. This week, Rider defensive back Javon Johnson joins us. Javon, thanks for your time.
No problem, anytime.
Now, your second time to Saskatchewan, you started your CFL career here, and you're doing a few things for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the charities.
Well, I support Lyme's disease. I met a lady in Ottawa when I was playing there who was in the Canadian Armed Forces, and she was discharged due to her heart failure, and they didn't know what was wrong. She had tests done, and they couldn't figure out what was going on with her. And then she met with a specialist, and the specialist told her that they thought she had Lyme's disease. So she had got checked for it. Come to find out, she did, and her heart was operating at about 57%. So she decided to leave the armed forces and start a cupcake shop. And you know, I met her through a guy, friend of mine, who I was coaching with in a little league team out in Ottawa. And he took me to her location, and she had the best cupcakes that I've ever tasted. And then, you know, we shared stories and talked a little bit about what she was going through and what she had to deal with. And the cupcake thing was a way for her to fund getting her treatments done and everything that she needed to do. So just a few months ago, and during the off season, she sent me a text message, and it was a video of her business being burned down. So it was my initiative. I felt like I needed to do something to help her out and help her rebuild, because she has to start all over. And not only is she starting all over, she also has to deal with the complications of her heart failure. And so that's where I'm at with it, and that's why I'm so passionate about it.
So you're gonna be doing T-shirts
mm-hmm.
for sale. How can people get a hold of a T-shirt here?
Well, I started the T-shirt thing as a way to raise money to give proceeds to Lyme's disease. They could either contact me on Twitter at MrConsistent_2, or they can just send me an email at Jovon, Jovon, D as in David, Johnson at gmail.com, and we could get the ball rolling.
And I saw you're also looking at getting like a barbecue in the park,
mm-hmm.
looking at possibly setting that up as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a barbecue. I looked at a bunch of locations here in Regina. Candy Cane Park was one that was highly recommended. So I figured that I would do it there. Still doing a tentative schedule as far as when I'm going to do it. I wanted to do it this upcoming weekend, but since all the players are going away on bye week, I was thinking maybe we would do it the weekend that we're all returning from bye week. So it would be a lot easier to get the players out there, and then also give me some time to work with a couple of sponsors in regards to getting the food that we need and all the required equipment. And then also I've been talking to the Wascana Center people of to what I needed to get done for to reserve the park. So it's all a process, but it's all getting taken care of.
All right, now you were cut from Montreal in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
We here were pretty quick on the signed Javon Johnson train. You've mentioned and proven fairly well over the first two games on the field that it mm-hmm. was not related to your talent.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a chip on your shoulder are you playing with, and how does that help you?
You know, I always play with a chip on my shoulder. Just growing up, going through adversity, all the adversity that I faced. You know, I've always had a chip on my shoulder, but you know, going through that situation with Montreal, knowing that I could still play and play at a high level and feeling like I was one of the best defensive backs throughout camp, you know, it made that chip grow even bigger. And, you know, coming here to Saskatchewan, for me, it's like a circle of life come back full circle because this is where I started my career. So being back here, it gives me not only a chance to reintroduce myself to the fans in the community, because when I was here before, I didn't really get that opportunity. But and it's also a chance for me to reintroduce myself to the league, because I feel like I still got a lot left in the tank, and that chip will continue to grow each week, and that's just how I am.
First game at New Mosaic Stadium, mm-hmm. just how loud was it on the field?
It was loud. I think that played a part in why we had so many busts in the coverage. You know, guys couldn't hear each other communicating out there on the field. But You know, as part of the game, the fans give us so much energy out there on that field. They're passionate and you know, they love the game, and you know, the best fans in the CFL by far. And you know, you gotta love being able to open up a new stadium and having that type of environment out there, with the jets flying over all the way through the game, the end of the game, with the fans cheering us all the way to the end. So you know, you gotta love that kind of support.
Now, speaking of the game, there's a couple of moments where we saw where Weston Dressler kind of got left mm-hmm. wide open. Obviously, we don't want you to name names, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But what happens when that kind of busted coverage happens? What kind of things lead to that?
You know, it's just a mentality, you know, a focus, paying attention to details and understanding what the call is, and executing. And, you know, we left the guy wide open on a few occasions in the game, and it was just a matter of communication and lack of concentration, and that's what it boils down to. That's what happens when you aren't hitting on all cylinders and being able to communicate with the guy that's playing next to you, and you know, it ultimately leads to coverage bust.
So who's the toughest receiver to face in the league right now, and who is the toughest you've ever faced in your career?
The toughest receiver in the league right now, I couldn't even tell you. Honestly, I really don't even know. I would have to say probably I would go with probably one of the guys from BC, either Manuel Arsenault or Brian Burnham, or a guy like SJ Green, you know, a guy that's proven over 10-year period that he could get it done, and he started the year off in pretty good fashion over in Toronto. So over my career, the toughest receiver that I ever had to face, I don't even know that answer either, to be honest. I think all of the receivers have presented a challenge in many different ways. They all have different skill sets. They all can make plays. If I had to just pick one, I would go with, let's see here, Chris Williams, maybe, from when he was in Ottawa. You know, being my teammate, I had to go against him at practice every day. Manuel Arsenault, another guy that has, you know, had a tremendous career and played great. And, you know, we've had some classic battles once we lined up against each other. So the respect is there. You know, there's a lot of guys. I could go down a long list of guys that I could name. But, you know, those are the two guys that probably stand out the most.
So outside of football, what do you do to keep yourself busy?
I do a lot of things. I'm heavily involved in the community. I have a business that helps high school students that are athletes get recruited to go to university and receive scholarships. Basically walking them hand in hand down the recruiting path and telling them, teaching them how and when to take test scores, take the standardized tests and get the scores for that, and reaching out and building networks with coaches, and you know, all the little things that, you know, go unnoticed that could help you get scholarships. You know, we give them the recipe for that and give them deadlines that they have to meet. It's like being a student again and having homework assignments that you got to get done, but this time your future is on the line for it.
Social media seems pretty important to you. Why do you interact so much with the fans?
I'm just passionate about myself and also engaging in the outside world, because you know, not everybody knows who you are. They don't know much about you, but everybody has an opinion about you, regardless of, you know, what you say or do. You know, everybody's going to have an opinion, and they're entitled to that. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm so heavily active on there because I want people to know the real me and not what they think of me, because what they think of me can be ultimately not the person that I am. So I would rather them get the opportunity to know me and know what I'm about, versus making, you know, judgments based on what they think.
So who is the real you?
Well, I'm down to earth, you know, humble. You know, a lot of people think I'm cocky or overly confident, but you know, I'm really actually down to earth, humble. You know, I'm very passionate about the game of football, very, very passionate about, you know, giving back and being a face in the community. You know, I'm active in a lot of different areas, you know, trying to better people around me. I'm a leader by, you know, just, I don't really say much, but, you know, I lead by example. That's my style. And now being at this point in my career, I have to do more talking and I'm okay with that. But you know, before in my younger days, I wasn't a big talker. I was not the type of guy that would get in front of a classroom and give a speech. That's just who I was. But you know, that those times have changed because you know I've become the elder statesman in the room, so I have to be more vocal. But you know, I'm a real normal person. Like I'm not the type of person that people think I am. Like people think I talk too much, but I don't feel like I talk enough. You know, sometimes I could get carried away with, you know, people attacking me and then I snap back because, you know, that all comes from the adversity that I went through as a kid. You know, my mom always taught me that if somebody does or says something to you, then you hit back. So, you know, that's how I am. Like I'm very outgoing in that regard. When somebody says something to me that I don't like, I always have something to say in response to it. So that's probably why.
And would you say that's the one thing that sticks out, your mom teaching you as a kid?
My mom taught me a lot of things, but, you know, that is one of the things that she taught me that, you know, that still sticks with me to this day, is that I won't let no one disrespect me in any way. You know, I give respect, so I expect respect in return. So, you know, I don't let anybody disrespect me in any kind of way, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is life, and, you know, some people are going to say things that you don't like, and you just got to learn to bite your tongue and walk away from it.
That's great advice. Once football is done for you, mm-hmm. what do you see yourself doing? Like, would coaching be an option?
Coaching is definitely an option for me. I mean, I explored it. You know, I enjoy doing it. I trained a lot of kids in the off season that are going to go on to be prolific college football players. And actually one's going to the University of Iowa, go Hawkeyes. But yeah, I mean, I think coaching is possibly an option for me. If not, I'm going to be involved with sports in some way or another.
What is the most played song on your playlist right now?
Probably Lucci. You probably don't even know who that is.
Nope.
but yeah, I listen to him a lot. He has a nice album. If you ever get the chance to listen to it, he speaks to what I've been through in my life. So, you know, I could kind of relate to the things that he talks about.
What is the most embarrassing song on your playlist?
Do I gotta say?
Yep.
Probably one of the Justin Bieber songs. I mean, I think Bieber has some swag for.
That's
for a
so
kid
bad.
that sings,
you don't have any Spice Girls or Backstreet
no
Boys
way.
On there.
No way. Under no circumstances.
Without naming any names, what's your best road trip story?
Oh, you can name man. Names if you want. Like, they're not the league anymore, and you want to throw them under the bus. Be
no
like, yo, this guy's
way.
running around the hotel naked. Like.
Let's see here. We got a bunch of stories that I could get into. I'm going to just say that we played out in Toronto. It had to have been about 2011, actually, the year I won Defensive Player of the Year. We played in Toronto, and me and Jonathan Hefney and a few other guys, you know, we went and hung out, and the bus was supposed to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. We didn't make that bus. Woke up at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, plane gone, bus gone, everybody gone. And we were supposed to check out at about 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock. And the cleaning staff woke us. And I was like, what time is it? And I looked at the clock, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had to pay for our own flight to get back to Winnipeg. And we got fined by the team for not flying with the team. Yeah.
All right. And most importantly, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Absolutely. Yeah, pit bull. I got two blue-nosed pit bulls.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nala and Simba are their names.
I like that. Well, Javon, thanks for taking time out of your night to join us. We really appreciate it.
I'm glad I could make it. I almost forgot.
Well, at least it wasn't like 8 hours late and you had to fly in to do it, right?
Oh, no.
We won't find you, though, so it's all right.
Appreciate it.